We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, welcome into Attacking Third for a special Wednesday edition of the show. We're talking everything women's footy. We've got some fun topics to get through today. We're going to do a state your case where we talk about a U.S. Olympic roster spot that deserves to be going to Paris. We're also going to talk best NWSL kits of all time, end of this year, specifically in 2024. And we're bringing back our In Case You Missed It segment, talking about some different things that have happened over the last several days that maybe we didn't get to talk about in studio with Attacking Third, including the 16th NWSL club. So people joining us live on YouTube right now, start thinking where you want the 16th NWSL franchise to be located, because at the end of the show, we're going to interact with you and we want to hear where you are picking it. Alongside Sandra Herrera, I'm Lisa Carlin. Sandra, good morning. How's it going today?
Good morning. I love that you and I ended our evening together. Mm-hmm. Here we are, back at it, reunited once again in the AM. I'm doing great. Happy to be here with you, bud.
Yeah, just a swift 12 hours later, we're back at it. Well, it's because there's so much to talk about in the NWSL and women's football overall that it just makes sense that we are going live on Wednesday morning, which we will be doing moving forward. So make sure you follow us on youtube.com/attackingthird because we will be live 11 a.m. In addition to being in the studio with Attacking Third on Mondays and Thursdays, we just have so much content we want to throw at you. Let's get started, Sandra, because we have some fun topics that we are talking about today. We are doing a State Your Case segment. So we are picking an unexpected or a, quote, bubble player from the United States women's national team that should be on the Olympic roster going to Paris. Now, with the Olympics, there are only 18 players that can be rostered to go to the Olympics. That is 16 field players. There's usually two goalkeepers. And then, of course, there are five alternates. But we're not talking the alternates. We are talking full roster, being one of the 18 that is signed with the United States and going to Paris. I want to know from you, Sandra, who is your unexpected bubble player that you are going to state your case to go to the Paris Olympics?
I hate that I'm even talking about this player in this breath, because this player has not only been a part of these national team camps over the last course of this, you know, 6 months or so, specifically with Twyla Kilgore in the interim role, but hasn't seen a lot of time on the pitch recently. So it makes me wonder if they're in the bubble sphere of this team. And it's a tragedy to me because this is a player that actually has Olympic experience at this point. I feel like Casey Krueger is on the outside looking in, and I'm just here saying why? I want to see her get some more time on the national team level. Next window's coming in June. We have to imagine that just after that, perhaps we see that Olympic roster drop. There's a difference in this Olympic roster. The way the alternates are going to slot in, it's going to be the more traditional role of alternates where they kind of just travel with the team. And if they're part of that game day roster, it's specifically due to injury. So we're throwing it back to how the Olympic rules used to be. Casey Krueger is actually a player on this team that does have Olympic experience, was a part of that bronze medal winning team in the Tokyo Games, but was also listed as an alternate. But the difference there was that these players, in light of the ongoing pandemic, were available for selection and utilized throughout the tournament when they needed to be utilized. So I think of this player and I look at the timeline, Lisa, of things with how Kilgore has been in the interim role, the short window in the buildup to the Olympics, and Emma Hayes and her arrival and how that's coming in June. And whenever I think about Casey Krueger and think about how she plays and really know what she has to offer on the pitch, because she's a player that I've got to cover closely while she was in Chicago, she just sort of has a lot of those typical traits that Emma Hayes appreciates in a player. So I look at Krueger and I feel like she checks a lot of boxes, but the other side of that coin is that there's just not a lot of time here. And with what we've been seeing in front of us on the pitch, I want to make a case for her to crack this roster.
I like that. That's a good shout for Casey Krueger. And you've been on the Casey Krueger train for a while now. I think that also her time in Washington this year, right, being traded in the offseason or as a free agent, right? This is a free agent move for her. To go to Washington Spirit, I think gives her a different look on the field as well, because now she's playing with different players and she has a little bit of a different role because she's playing center back at times for Washington. Frankly, I don't think that helps her on her case for going to the Olympics by any chance. With this United States roster, the left back position is one that has a lot of depth and also does not have a firm player that has solidified themselves in that starting role, whether it's Casey Krueger, whether it's Emily Fox, who's mostly moved to the right side and solidified herself there, Jenna Knightswanger, Crystal Dunn. There's a lot of depth and a lot of players. So it makes sense that we both pick a player that is in that role. For me, I'm going to state my case for defender Jenna Knightswanger to go to the Olympics in that left back position over someone like Casey Krueger. Jenna Knightswanger has come into this national team and proven that she is willing to learn, to adapt to the system, and to grow in her role. There are some downsides to Knightswanger's play defensively. She hasn't been tested as much 1v1, but that's also not her role as much in the formation that Twyla Kilgore and the U.S. is playing right now, because when Knightswanger's on the pitch, she's the one pressing up really high and getting into those attacking zones, which is how Jenna Knightswanger is good at playing. And she gets into the attacking end. She has bravery on the ball. She's not afraid to go 1v1. She's got good crosses into the box. She's young. There are so many pros and cons with Jenna Knightswanger in that her defensive abilities 1v1 maybe aren't the strongest. She's also really young. She hasn't been through that much, whether it's professionally. You could argue that in her first season, becoming rookie of the year and winning the championship with Gotham did prove a lot, but she also didn't have to go through that much adversity in my mind. So she hasn't been through a lot because she is so young. However, I think her pros outweigh some of those cons that she has, and her ability to get forward and contribute into the attack and not have the pressure of I deserve to be starting or what's going to happen. It's almost like she has a clean slate. Anytime she steps onto the pitch, it's just getting the job done that is asked of her in that moment. So for me, I'm going with Jenna Knightswanger to state my case. I think she should be going to the Olympics.
No, I hear you. And I think it's a good shout, especially considering this last month that we got to see her in these international games, looking at how she was in that semifinal against Canada, which again, the weather conditions, terrible, terrible time for everybody involved, including us there and watching, but also getting a little bit of a look and She Believes and against different opposition. This is a player that it's pretty evident that how coachable she is. Like once you give her the adjustment, once you give her, you know, the mark or the task, whatever, she responds immediately. So I'm with you. I would argue that maybe she's like a near lock at this point. Like maybe she's not so bubble, but nothing is in stone right now, even with the Olympics just a few months away. So I'm with you on it.
That's interesting that you think she's a near lock. I mean, I would hope she is. Clearly, I'm stating my case for her to go there. But there's just something about how fluid the left back position has been for the United States. During the Gold Cup, of course, Jenna Knightswanger did establish herself. But throughout the She Believes Cup, they rotated a lot. And to me, that just means that the coaching staff is still evaluating that role. And
yeah, absolutely.
Should be there. And then, of course, with Girma going down, it does change the dynamics of the back line. And you also have to evaluate how players adjust with the players beside them and around them. I don't know. I like that you think that she's a lock. We'll see. Time is ticking down because we'll get the roster soon.
I like that. Like the players that we kind of zeroed in on were players that we've typically seen in the fullback position. And it's just really kind of, I don't know. It's just very interesting, like how these cycles show us different things. Like just, what was it? Two Olympic cycles ago, maybe even an Olympic cycle ago, where there was this sort of narrative around the outside back pool where it was like, oh no, we have failed to develop outside backs. Who is going to be in this role? Right. And then there's, you know, we see this argument, you know, against even like, you know, seeing Crystal Dunn still in that role, like, cause we know what she can do higher on the pitch. Like we've seen her in higher midfield roles for clubs. Like there's folks who are, you know, leading the charge for like push Crystal Dunn higher brigade. Like, let's see what happens. You know, I know we've been in, right. You know, added our voices to that sometimes as well. So it's just very like, it's just so interesting to me to see like, here we are like going into another Olympics. And that's not necessarily what we're talking about. In fact, it's the opposite. There's a ton of options in this outside back pool.
There's almost like too many options at times with how many players and how much depth there is. All right. That's our state, our case. I liked it. You're going with Casey Krueger. I'm going to go with Jenna Knight-Swanger. This was an international break over the last week or so. So not only was the She Believes Cup happening with the United States, Japan, Brazil, and Canada, there was also Euros 2025 qualifiers happening. There were CAF or Olympic qualifiers happening for CAF. There were friendlies happening. There was a lot of footy to be done. And across the NWSL, there were 73 players called up to 27 different countries. You like that fun fact stat? I'm always trying to, you know, throw a wrinkle in it.
I'm just like, there's so many players.
So many players. 73 players called up to 27 different countries. It was really fun to watch. So during this international break, Sandra, which NWSL player performances stood out to you with their international play?
Well, I mean, look, this player hasn't even arrived yet. To the league.
Does it count?
Yes, it does, you ass, and I'm answering. Barbara Banda with Zambia. I mean, this is just a player that, and not only Orlando Pride, right? I'm sure they can't wait to get this player in. Mm-hmm. But folks like us who do the media coverage, folks, you know, who just are fans of the league, folks who want to see more internationals in NWSL, I cannot wait for Banda to get into NWSL. Just showing who she is, what she can provide for a team in high stakes moments, you know? It's just, I don't know if there's a striker out there that is hungrier in front of goal than Banda. Yeah. And I thought she was incredible. I mean, making history still with this Zambia side. It's going to make that group even stronger for the Olympics. I mean, we had already had some predictions about like who's going to be more chaotic or who's group of death. And it's like, here's Zambia saying, you know, we've arrived. So I really liked her play. I'm also going to give a shout to Yuli Bianchi. I like that she got in the mix for She Believes. Brazil ending up with a third place finish. I think she's still making and showing that case for kind of like most improved player. Maybe not so much with Brazil side, but for sure for Chicago Red Stars. But I think it's because of her, you know, a little bit of a more of her elevated play that she's getting those looks again with Brazil. So I would give her a shout as well.
Yeah, I like that shout. Brazil definitely had, I think, in their semifinal match in the She Believes Cup just yesterday, there's three in the midfield that play in the NWSL with Bianchi, Marta, and Angelina. I believe that was like the starting three of four in the midfield for Brazil. It's just fun to watch. Barbara Banda is like kind of a loophole. I know we make our own rules here, but like kind of a loophole. She hasn't technically joined yet.
We do what we want on this episode, Lisa. Come on.
But you're exactly right. We do what we want. It was impressive to watch Zambia go against Morocco. They had a two-leg qualifying for the Olympics. Ultimately, Zambia wins on aggregate 3-2 over Morocco. So Barbara Banda and Zambia will be joining the United States, Germany, and Australia in Group B at the Olympics. Scary to kind of think about that. And
Banda is scary.
Yes, Dawn. Banda is very scary. Okay, my player that I want to shout out is Esther Gonzalez, the forward for the Spanish national team. She plays in the NWSL with Gotham FC. Spain is just so fun to watch. And when you have so many talented players, sometimes players get lost in the shuffle about if they're not an all-star, if they're not standing out. Esther Gonzalez, of course, she had a brace in Spain's 7-0 win over Belgium in the Euros qualifiers, but she just did so well on the ball. She had really good movement. She looked so confident with her play. I was so impressed to see her. And I think she also grew throughout that Belgium game specifically with, as the time went on, kind of finding her footing. Gonzalez just looks really in good form right now. And it's dangerous to think that she's going to come back to a Gotham side and just continue to grow and develop, because she's only been in the NWSL. This is her second season, sort of, not even full season. So the fact that she's still adjusting to the NWSL game is a little dangerous to me, in the fact that what we're seeing from Gonzalez, and she's able to level up at the international level with Spain, who is arguably the best team right now in the world in the women's game, and just completely show out for sure.
Yeah, I think that's an important shout for that player. I think, you know, even in an Olympic cycle, Gonzalez is just going to be so important.
I know,
for Gotham, especially. I think really in this first half of the season, you know, I think it's an important thing that you note there, where it's like, hey, this is actually a player that's still finding her footing in NWSL. But that's just going to make her better if she gets on that roster for Spain in the Olympics, honestly.
Oh, like, it's going to be very, very dangerous. I also want to give honorable mention shout out to Jaden Shaw with the U.S., because we did talk about her. We went live on YouTube last night to recap the She Believes Cup, but two starts. She's played in multiple positions. She's the first U.S. women's national team player to get 5 goals in 5 starts. Just shout out to Jaden Shaw in this international break, because she's doing it for club. She's doing it for country. It's just so fun to watch her right now. All right. That was it. That's our Olympic conversation, our chat about the international break. Don't go anywhere, though, because we are diving into NWSL kits when we return. Stay with us.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, welcome back to Attacking Third. Sandra Herrera and Lisa Carlin here. We are talking NWSL best hits of 2024. Nike and the 14 different franchises in the NWSL rolled out with some really fun kits this year. And there was a lot of chatter when all of these kits first dropped. San Diego Wave getting a very respectable amount of love and well-deserved amount of love for their beautiful sunset kit. It looks very good. I wasn't sure how it would translate to the pitch, but it actually looks really good when the Wave plays on the field. So we're not talking San Diego. We're taking them out of the picture. I want to talk some other kits that maybe haven't had as much love, but look really good, especially after the first 3 weeks of play in the NWSL when we see them on the pitch. Is there a, maybe like an underrated kit to some extent, Stanja, that has stood out to you?
Yeah, I think there's plenty. I don't know if – I think you and I can both agree that Orlando, over the last few years specifically, has done a lot of like local out-the-box thinking. Like, what is representative right. of Orlando? What makes them –
They had the artist last year, the local artist. Yes. Yeah.
I love that. There's nothing I love more than when the local team gets local. So with the citrus kit this year, we were so blessed to receive one of these beautifully packaged kits. We were like, wow, look at this. We got some orange marmalade with it. Like it was giving fruit, and it absolutely delivered. But seeing it live and in person, it kind of like there were moments where it kind of gave like more peach versus like yeah. citrus. But I'm not like anti that. I appreciate it. I like that they have some texture like going on in within the oranges. Like maybe it looks more peach on the top. It's a little layer of more orange color. But I like this one. I don't know if it's been getting as much love for, yeah. you know, depending on some other kids. Like we're obviously talking about San Diego for sure. But for me, this one's a little bit underrated because of the customization of it and the fact that it's just really, I think for the first time, just kind of like really, really getting outside of the box. Because even though we saw some yeah. of those local trends for them, like, you know, with NASA and all the space kits, they're actually going out of it with their whole color scheme altogether. Like they have produced a kit that is not white and not purple. They went with orange. So I
agree. The PR packaging for this citrus kit, hands down, the most creative and most clever thing I've ever seen Orlando do. It was incredible. So shout out Orlando and thank you for that. But I love purple. And like, where's yeah. the purple? You can do so many fun things with purple to me. This kit, I will say, in person, looks better than it does on the screen, in my opinion. I am going to wear this around as fashion because it does look really cool in person. And I will just say, I was with my friend who was from Florida and grew up there when I got the PR package and opened it. And she was so ecstatic that yeah. Orlando leaned into the oranges. And she was like, oranges are part of Florida's identity. And we care so much about that.
I love that.
And it's cool to see. Which, frankly, I didn't really think – maybe I'm stupid, but I didn't really think about that too much. Yeah. I was just kind of like, they're reaching here. But she connected with this kit very much, like being from Florida and the orange and the citrus of it. All right. I like that shout out to Orlando. I want to give a shout out to the Chicago Red Stars kit this year because when it initially dropped, I was like, okay, fine. This is whatever. As the 3 weeks went on and we got to see the players in this competing, I loved it. Chicago kind of fell into this dark black color coding the last couple of years, and they're back to the light blue color with the red trim. It stands out on the pitch. They have this really cool design on the kit that leads to the crest in the corner. And when Chicago released it, they said that it's an attempt to unite the city with the 9 different stripe patterns representing the city's neighborhoods coming together and meeting at the crest. It's awesome. It's got meaning. It's pretty to look at. I love Chicago's.
You know, I didn't want to be too obvious and go with Chicago. So I'm so glad that you went with Chicago. So they're on this list for us as well. But yeah, of course. And I would also like echo your sentiment about Orlando. I think these look even better in person as well. Yeah. Like you could see the players flying in them, whether they're wearing it on the pitch or folks are wearing them in the stand. Very, very good. I'm going to also give a shout. Let's throw it way west since we've gone east and central. Let's throw it way west. I'm going to go with Angel City as well. And they're kind of, they're black kits this year with the wing accents. I love a theme. I love that Angel City is leaning in with the angel wings. Another kit that I think really looks even better in person. And I think it just looks really good with their sort of kind of what's become a kind of a little bit of an iconic crest, just sort of how the different angles are kind of popping off in this one as well. So I'm a sucker for a darker kit, for a black kit. I like that this one is a little bit of an off black. It's not like a deep, deep kind of black. I like that there's like some deep kind of like purplish hues, some gray hues in this one. So I'm going with Angel City and their darker winged kit this year.
I'm staying on the West Coast for another one of my underrated ones, Seattle Reign. Like, seriously, Lisa, how many weeks into this are we? Seattle Reign with their primary blue kit. It is clean. It is classic. It's simple. It has the deep navy with the gold trim and the gold detailings. With Seattle having the rebrand or going back to Seattle Reign this year, they have a new crest, and that's enough for me. And I love how clean and simple this looks, especially on the pitch. It's very evident that when you're watching Seattle play and seeing their kits, this is one of mine that I'm like, underrated. People aren't talking about this enough, how clean and how simple it is. I love it. They did a good job with the contrasting colors.
We were already really hyped that the rebrand happened for this season. They brought back the original crest, but seeing it in this colorway, the scheme, the all gold with the white accents on the deep navy, it's so good. And honestly, we don't really give enough shots to how teams play with their front sponsors. The Black Future Co-op Fund looks so good in its fonts and the gold hues in this. So I'm with you. I love the shout there. I'm going to throw it back east. Okay, Lisa, to kind of wrap this up, my third one that I think isn't getting enough love is Washington Spirit. I really like that they kind of took this template and trying to make it theirs. I love the different geometric kind of shapes, which also oddly gives a little bit of symmetry at the same time. And again, if it's not obvious, I'm a sucker for a darker kit. But again, I like that this has different hues. We've got some grays, we've got some blacks. It feels like industrialism. It feels like a city. It feels like skyscrapers all over the place. So I like this one for the DC side, and I think it should be getting some more love.
I'm going to argue that I don't like it because their crest is dark. They kind of changed their color of their crest last year to black and white. And there's just no color on this. I want even
would you
like
rather been all white.
No.
I'm looking at the CVS and I'm looking at the Nike swoosh and I'm like, maybe that also should have been like the white.
The design is good, but like the trim around the collar and the sleeves, can we get a color there? Like, highlighter yellow they're going with, throw that in there. Whatever.
Lettering should have been the highlighter yellow. I mean, maybe.
That's true.
Maybe the stripe around, you know, the sleeves and the collar, like you're saying, should have been the highlighter letter. Maybe the crest. We'll see.
That could have been fun.
Haters, man. Where are my DC folks in there? I'm sticking with the Spirit. I'm standing.
I know. Everyone in our chat is like
10 toes down for the Spirit and their kits.
Everyone in the chat is like, I don't like it. I don't like it. Well, I clearly like the colors. So my third underrated kit is Houston Dash, because when your colors are orange, you can do so many fun things with this. And this is their 10th anniversary kit. I love it. It's giving macaroni and cheese, cheddar cheese on the pitch. It's so fun. It's so bright. The pixelated details when you look up close are really pretty. I like that it's got different hues of it. And also their other light blue kit is also very pretty. I like that they went with the orange and the blue. I mean, when you have fun colors to play with, why not lean into it? It's funny. You went with the darker kits and I was like, let's go the neon orange.
I like the blue kits for Houston a little more this year than the orange, but I think they did a good job with this one as well.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I like to see it. I also am like partial to orange kits, like Netherlands. I love their highlighter orange kit as well. They do a really good job. Okay,
I'm still trying not to lose the fact that you said it's giving mac and cheese.
Is it not?
I love it. I love it, dude. I love it. Not to break up your transition, but please lead us away.
I mean, it looks like it. It's pretty good. It's impressive to watch these little, you know, macaroni's running around on the field when we're watching Houston. Okay, so this was 2024 kits, are some of our underrated ones. But the NWSL has been around for 11 seasons, Sandra. We are in year 2024 with it. So what is your favorite NWSL kit of all time?
Oh, Lisa. There's a reason why I didn't lean Chicago in this version, because I knew when we got to this part of it, I was going to lean into the home side here. The greatest NWSL kit of all time is the 2019 elevated kit for the Chicago Red Stars. You just simply had to be there. If you weren't around during 2019 for the rise of NWSL 2019 kits, I don't know what to tell you. It was an incredible experience. The Chicago Red Stars absolutely leaned into full customization, which was something that was offered finally by Nike in collaboration with NWSL in 2019. And there's a reason why we saw a lot of very, very cool kits in 2019. But the Chicago Red Stars elevated kit combined a lot of different things. It still incorporated that typical red stars across the chest, which is synonymous with Chicago because the Chicago flag has four red stars on it in between bars of white and blue. So that has always been a staple across Chicago Red Stars jerseys. So they kept that there, but it was in the forefront of what was their spin on the city's elevated train system. So all of these different kind of zigzag type of designs going all across through kind of really one side of the jersey. And they got to show off kind of their rebranded Chicago Red Stars crest that had only been really in action for a few seasons at that point. And also, this was one of the greatest Chicago Red Stars teams of all time. So you go through the roster and you're like, holy crap, how do they have these kinds of players on there? So not only was it an iconic kit, you got to see it on iconic players.
Yeah,
so
that's a good point.
This one blows them all away, in my opinion.
I like it. It's pretty. It's classic. The details are nice. And I like the stars across the chest, too. It has this good mix of, like, we're going to represent the city and we're going to have fun with this kit, but we're also going to stay a little bit more classic and understand that we can't shake things up too much. All right. Good shout for this one. My best kit of all time is going back to the first iteration of the Utah Royals in 2019. It might've been their home kit for 2020, but it did come after that 2019 wave where Nike said, hey, you can customize your kit. It is my favorite. It is the blue kit for Utah Royals with the Utah landscape in the gold in the bottom half, the mountains in the bottom half of the kit in the club signature gold with their blue. It is classy. I really, really like this. It has good lines to it, good point. It looks good on with the gold coming down the side. It's very flattering. This is hands down my favorite one. I like it.
Listen, it shouldn't be too shocking. I think that we're both choosing kits that are representative of a time where it's like, okay, go off clubs, have fun, exactly. Mix it up a little bit. I'm with you on this one. Again, sucker for the darker kits. I like that there's the accents of brightness with the gold hues in there. And again, we love the local tie, right? We love the local connect. We always hear so much and see so much about the scenes, the environment, the mountainous terrain of Salt Lake City whenever this club hosts a match. Love that they tried to represent that on this kit. So I think this is a good shot as well.
Yeah, when clubs tie in the community and then the landscape and the local touch of it, it's really fun to see how they incorporate that into their kits and what touches they do. All right, that was it. We're done talking kits. That was fun. We always like to have a little fun on these Wednesday episodes. It was a good one. We talked about this year as we threw it back to our favorite one of all time. But don't go anywhere because we have our In Case You Missed It segment coming up, talking everything that you might have missed in the last week of women's football. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, welcome back to Attacking Third. This is our In Case You Missed It segment. So we are touching on news, things that have dropped, transfers, trades, everything over the last week that you might have missed or maybe we didn't get to talk about in our Attacking Third studio shows on Monday and Thursday. Up first, we are talking about some news that dropped this morning on Wednesday, April 10th. The English forward Rachel Daly has announced she is retiring from international football after 84 caps with England, winning the Euro 2022. Currently, she plays for Aston Villa and she's not going anywhere in the Super League, but she is no longer playing for England's national team. She said, quote, "I would love nothing more to play for England forever, but the time has come for me to hang up my boots on the international stage. While today is an extremely difficult day for me, it's also one filled with reflection and immense gratitude. Playing for and representing England has been a privilege." We did see her, Sandra, come on as a sub in Tuesday's 2-0 Euro 2025 qualifying win over Ireland for England. But this kind of came as a shock to me. Did it surprise you at all?
You know what? It did. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I was like, what? You know, it makes you wonder the reasons why, and only players who make that decision will know that. But even within her goodbye, all of the things that she notes, it left a little bit of that shock factor. Cause you're like, yeah, this is the player who's been with the Lionesses for nearly a decade, stepping away after 8 years with them and the things that they've achieved along the way. So knowing that there's an Olympics right in front of them, knowing that roster is going to be much smaller, you know, really 16 field players when you think about it, because two of those positions are going to go to goalkeepers. Maybe you have conversations with yourself as a player and say, hey, it's time. Also, look, the life of a player who has to balance club and country is incredibly, incredibly demanding. I don't know if it's one that those of us who don't play or those of us who are not in that spotlight are ever really going to understand. And I also think a lot about the fact that Rachel Daly is one of those players. She's had to balance a lot of that in her career. And she has had to, unfortunately, go through a lot of difficult emotional things off of the pitch as well. I mean, I remember speaking with Rachel Daly during that 2020 Challenge Cup run with Houston Dash and getting a little bit reflective about the loss of her grandfather to cancer. And we talked a little bit about that and
sad.
Fast forwarding how she lost her father as well not too long ago. These are such deeply emotional things. Like, grief is a thing that, you know, sometimes will stay with a person until they decide to step into grief in a different way. So, you know, these are all very speculative things. These are nothing. None of these are things that Rachel Daly touched on. These are just things that spawned into my mind when I think about this very difficult decision that players maybe have to make for themselves. So maybe there's a little bit of self-preservation in a decision like this because she's not stepping away from club. That was very
exactly clear
that this is an international retirement. So yeah, brought back a lot of memories of her time in NWSL. It was like, you know, this for a really long time, you know, she was America's Lioness. So hats off to her. You know, it was definitely surprising to me. Was it surprising to you?
Yeah, I like how you put that. She was America's Lioness. It was a little bit surprising to me. This is a player that I played against in college. She went to St. John's. We played against each other in the Big East. And she's fierce. She gives everything on the pitch. She cares so deeply about this game. And she's so intense when she plays that I honestly thought, like, she's one of those players that could never retire and just keep on going. Her versatility, she plays in the front line. She plays in the back for club, for country. She is really good player. And I think she's so smart that she's probably choosing to do this to be on her own terms, to say goodbye to the international game when she's ready to. And that's what happened. That now she gets to go out on her own terms. She still will play in the Super League for Aston Villa. Still plenty to come for Rachel Daly at the club level, but definitely a little bittersweet to know that we watched her for the last time against Ireland.
Thanks for the correction, y'all. I appreciate it. England is definitely not going to the Olympics, nor is Great Britain. I'm getting all my wires crossed with the Euros.
It happens. There's a lot. There's either way, there's a lot going on out there. We're trying to get it straight. So wishing Rachel Daly all the best and thankful to have watched her play for England, and congrats on winning Euro 2022. She's had a great career and it's not done yet. Just saying goodbye internationally.
We still get to see her with Aston Villa. So we'll see how they close things out there in Women's Super League.
In Chicago, Sandra, we have some news coming out of the Red Stars. They are set to play a match at Wrigley Field in June against Bay FC. It's the first time an NWSL match will be played at a very historic baseball stadium. It's the home of the Chicago Cubs. To me, Sandra, this is a big deal because this stadium is in the city. It's not in Bridgeview, Illinois at SeatGeek Stadium. It is in the city of Chicago with hopes that maybe more fans come out to these home games for Chicago. But how exciting that the Red Stars will be playing at Wrigley.
I loved this announcement when it dropped from the club. It immediately, when it happened, I was like, oh, this is the energy with the new ownership group and investors for the Red Stars. Look, Chicago Cubs are also co-owned by Laura Ricketts, who led that new ownership group and investor group to become, you know, new owners for Chicago Red Stars. And this just sort of feels like this was one of those things that was going to happen. But the fact that it's happening just months into their new era of ownership, I think, is massive. And there's just like a lot of historical elements, I think, within this as well. Like, it's Wrigley Field. It's the second oldest baseball stadium in the United States by like a couple years. We're comparing it to Fenway, you know, like these are the two iconic, you know, stadiums that you think of when you think of MLB.
Yeah.
They're also going to get an opportunity to be the first like women's professional sporting event at this venue, because Wrigley Field at this point, it has undergone a lot of renovations, right? When you're an old stadium, you gotta keep up with the times. And that Ricketts ownership group with the Cubs, they did massive renovation project that took about 5 to 7 years, we'll just say. And in the meantime, there's been a lot of events. Like, it's hosted concerts. It's hosted all different musicians. It's awesome. It's had multiple sporting events. It's been a place where you could watch Blackhawk games at times. There's been some collegiate football games there as well. So the fact that the Red Stars and Bay FC as well are going to be the two teams that represent the first ever like women's sporting event there, I think is really, really cool. So excited for this one. If you got the time, come through in June.
Yeah, go through June 8th. You can watch Chicago Red Stars against Bay FC at Wrigley Field. We have to give a shout out to Nigeria because they were playing in Olympic qualifiers. They defeated South Africa in their two legs, and they have now qualified for the Olympics for the first time since 2008. So I want to give a special shout out to Nigeria and the NWSL players that play with Nigeria women's national team: Michelle Olozia, Uchenna Kanu, Ife Onomono, Asisato Shwala, and Nicole Payne. So congratulations. It was fun to watch you against South Africa. And we'll see you in Paris in 2024. There was some news coming out last week from Commissioner Jessica Berman in the NWSL, who spoke with ESPN that the NWSL is on track to pick a location and an ownership group for the league's 16th team by Q4, which basically means, for those that are not in business, like the end of the year. I was like Googling this, like, what is Q4? So this is really exciting news because the league declared that its intent to have two more teams by 2026 and 16 total clubs. Last September, the NWSL awarded Boston and the Boston Unity Soccer Partners ownership group as club number 15, franchise 15 in the NWSL. Now we know that with the USL Super League coming in, that's launching in August with 8 teams, there's going to be another Division One and Tier One competition. But we get to see a 16th team come into the NWSL. I want to know where in the country you want it to be. You, as in Sandra, and everyone in our chat joining us live on YouTube, drop where you want the 16th NWSL franchise to be. And keep in mind, we're going to make these educated decisions because the USL Super League, they have 8 teams that are launching in August in Brooklyn, New York, Charlotte, North Carolina, Dallas, Texas, Fort Lauderdale, Lexington, Spokane, Washington, Tampa Bay, and Washington, D.C. So those are the 8 USL Super League teams. Of course, we know in the NWSL where across the country there are NWSL teams. There's a couple on the West Coast. We've got a handful in the Midwest. Of course, down the East Coast, we have a lot. But Sandra, where do you want this 16th franchise to be?
Well, we already know 15 is going to be in Boston. So I'm sorry. I don't think there's going to be another Eastern team that's thrown into the mix for expansion. I don't know how you come off of these She Believe Cup games where there were two excellent, excellent crowds near 20K in Ohio and a record-setting 50K in Atlanta. You know me, I'm going to want to see more centralized teams. So I saw that St. Louis was potentially in the mix. But Cleveland has also been trying to push and elbow their way into the mix. So I wouldn't mind some combination of either of those two. I'm leaning, if it's not Atlanta at this point, I don't know what argument against it you're making. But I'm throwing my chips in to either St. Louis or Atlanta. That's where I want to see the next team.
Atlanta's a really good shout with U.S. Soccer building their new headquarters there. We saw the record-breaking crowd for the U.S. Against Japan in the She Believes Cup, over 50,600 fans in attendance there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Yeah, Atlanta's a really good shout. I think that Cleveland, there's an ownership group there that's itching to get into the NWSL, which also kind of plays into where we just saw the U.S. women's national team play in Ohio. I was also thinking centrally. Like, initially I was like, okay, Dallas, maybe Denver is announced that they're bringing a women's professional team to Denver in Colorado. I think that would be really fun to see. But Sandra, I mean, you know where I'm going to go.
You got to go there, girl. Do it.
You know exactly where I'm going. Philadelphia needs a women's professional soccer team. We need a women's professional team, first of all. Give us the WNBA. Give us women's football. Whatever you want to give us, we will take it. I want an NWSL club and franchise in Philadelphia. With the Philadelphia Independents, I grew up going to those games. I loved watching them. Philly is a hotbed for soccer and talent that comes out of it. Yes, we're going to have Boston, New York, and DC, but Philly needs its own club. It is such a strong sports city. We need a women's professional team, and I want it to be the 16th NWSL club.
Right on. There you go, Lisa. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I like it, M. Kelly, for Dawn Staley and Philadelphia. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Love that. We'll see. A lot of you guys dropping your comments in the chat about where you want this club to be the 16th. We'll see. Jessica Berman and the NWSL will announce it by Q4. That's what they said. We'll see what happens when it comes out. And of course, we will cover it all for you right here on Attacking Third. Wednesday show, done and dusted. Sandra, final thoughts for everyone?
Let's go. NWSL's back. Tune in this weekend, y'all.
NWSL is back. Tune in. The international break was fun, but now we get back to club play. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining us. Make sure you follow Attacking Third wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. We're also available on YouTube, youtube.com/attackingthird. And you can catch us on the CBS Sports Golazo Network for all your women's football coverage. For Mark, Sandra, I'm Lisa Carlin. This was Attacking Third.
A very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.